passion for work can make it happen. Make your career connection now at 521-TALK, 521-8255. And now, here's George Dutch.
Welcome to the Career Connection on 580 CFRA, your news talk radio station in the nation's capital. On this, another Super Sunday of summer 1999. My name is George Dutch, and I have a private practice as a career consultant here in Ottawa, and I'm heard every Sunday on 580 CFRA from 6 to 7 p.m. to help you find your right work and help you navigate your way through the brave new world of work. And what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about one singular individual who has done exactly that, found his right work and is navigating his way through the brave new world of work now. In fact, Mark Buzan, my guest today on the Career Connection, was somebody that called this show originally a couple of years ago, and bless his heart, followed through, and we're going to tell his story today, and you're going to hear it straight from the horse's mouth, how somebody identifies and defines their natural talents, the circumstances that motivate them, how that translates into a specific job title, and then identifying where you want to work, where do you want to put those talents to work, what kind of organization represents those circumstances that bring out the best in you, and then once you've identified or answered those two questions, where and what do you do then? How do you break in to that organization and go after the job title that you've identified? Mark, welcome to the Career Connection.
Thank you very much.
Mark, I'm just going to read your business card because you're now fully employed.
Mm-hmm.
You were also employed at the time that you called this show a couple of years ago, but you were, like many people who had just gotten out of university, working in a job that you weren't particularly satisfied with, but it was
right.
A paycheck. It helped pay the rent, put food
yeah.
on the table. But the reason that you called this show is because you heard me talking about what I talk about every Sunday on this show, is the level of job satisfaction in some way correlates with using your natural talents, putting your passion to work. And you had a passion for political science. And you're now working as a special assistant to a member of parliament, Jason Kenney, who's a member of parliament from Calgary Southeast. You're working on the Hill. So why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about what led you to call this show and what led you to follow up?
I believe at the time that I called, I was getting close to approaching my second last semester of university in an honors degree. I was very uncertain of what my future held for me. I wasn't certain what really jobs would be out there for university grads, particularly in political science. It's not known as a degree which companies go out and hire en masse, if you will.
And there are dozens and dozens of graduates in political science from both local universities every year. They're pumping out hundreds of graduates in political science.
Absolutely.
Ottawa is the center, of course, for graduates that want to work in political science or any other provincial capital, I guess, but the national capital is where all the action is.
Absolutely, and a lot of students are attracted to that. The problem often is that they come off with the perception that the degree is going to get them everything, and with political science, I know very few, and there are very, very few people who actually work in the domain in which they studied. I consider myself as one of the lucky few.
In fact, but at the time that you called the show, you were worried that you were going to be one of those sad statistics.
Exactly.
That you had this political science degree, but you'd never see the light of day in terms of having a job in the political sphere, which you had a passion for. You had a passion for political science.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So here I was, worried, very concerned for my future, ending university career and wanting to know.
How old were you at the time, Mark?
Approximately, I believe I was about 22, 23
sure.
at the time.
Sure. I think there are lots of young men and women listening that are about that age now, getting out of university or have gotten out of university.
It's a difficult time because you've got a life ahead of you that's a total mindset change that needs to occur.
And you're not the only one worrying. Your parents are worrying as
absolutely.
Well. They've helped invest in this
absolutely.
Education, and they want to get some results out of it.
Well, parents will be parents, of course, and they're going to be concerned for their kids. So I happened to stumble across your show one evening after coming back from one of those typical student jobs working in a corner store, and heard something that sounded like very, very, very interesting, a different approach to getting jobs other than just handing out the resumes. God knows how many I'd done that and how many other people had done that as well. And that just simply didn't produce the results I was hoping for. And I decided to give you a call and see what there was, something different. Maybe there was something I was missing that I wasn't seeing. Most particularly, I had an idea of what I wanted to do, but I didn't know what the titles were, and I think...
You didn't know how that idea matched out with specific job titles.
Exactly, and now coming back to me, I remember the phrase that I used is, it's very common for people to want to climb the ladder there. However, when you want to climb that ladder, you've got to be able to find that first step, and I didn't know where the first step was to make it to where I eventually wanted to be, to climb that ladder.
So you had a vision of what the top looked like,
yeah.
But you didn't know how to put your foot on the bottom rung.
Yeah, I didn't know those steps in between there and to get up there. So I put that question to you in that sense there and asked you, where do I go? What are the people that I should talk to, et cetera, et cetera? And,
normal questions for a job seeker.
Yeah, for certain. And there I was. I asked that. And...
Now, you had a lot of ideas, I remember, at the time, because like a lot of young people that are 21, 22 years old, getting out of university, there's a number of different paths you can take, and it's sometimes difficult to explore those paths, to validate which one would be the best choice, because you might have three or four paths that you're thinking of taking, but how do you get started even on the first one?
Yeah.
That's a difficult thing to do, but on top of that, you've got these different options that are available to you. And I think what I do in my practice is put a lot of emphasis on helping people identify the best option, because very often the first step you take will determine the path you take for the rest of your life. So many
Absolutely.
People that are listening out there know that they fell into their first job and 20 or 30 years later, without a lot of deliberate choice or purpose or passion, they fell into their first job for one reason or another, and 30 years later they're still in that job. So the first step you take can be a crucial one for the rest of your life. There's a lot at stake, is what I'm saying.
Exactly. I'm the type of person who likes to set out a plan and follow by that, but I didn't really have much of a plan going on because I wasn't aware of what the resources are. The political sphere is, I think, in there are many careers that are out there like that, where you have an idea, everybody has a general idea of what's done, but it's very closed, it's not open very much at all. It's based a lot on who you know, what you know as well, but more so who you know.
And yet when we go to school, like university, we really put a lot of emphasis on learning what's needed, the content, the content of political science.
Well, for certain, and that's what schools are there for, but people need to understand that there's a bigger skill that's going to get you a lot farther, and that's your people skills and how you know. And developing those networking contacts.
Building relationships.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to get back to that later on in the program. What was the first thing that happened, or the first light that went on that said that, I think maybe now I'm starting to make some progress, that I better commit myself to this plan. I've got the outlines of a plan, finally. When did that light first dawn for you?
Well, the first light dawned on me when he provided me with a couple avenues. You listed off advocacy organizations that you knew of.
That I felt correlated with your natural talents,
yes,
as well
exactly.
as the education and experience you'd picked up.
So it gave
school.
Me an idea of where to go from there. The whole plan being laid out as to what kind of questions need to be asked when going and initially initiating a information-seeking interview, if you will, where you just... call the particular office or that director as such.
Yeah, and we're going to get into that in a minute, but I think what you're saying is that at some point you felt confident about a certain kind of approach. It resonated with you. You could see yourself in these certain kinds of roles or these job titles, that you could see the correlation with your natural
talents. I think I saw that bright light, if you will, once it was more than just a simple approach to the traditional things is you find out who the person is, give them a call and drop them off a resume and say, please give me a job. That it's more to it than simply just that. It's actually having them remember you and having them actually count on you to bring something in without expecting immediate returns.
Very well put. We're going to come back to exactly how you did that right after we take this short break. Stay tuned to the Career Connection on 580 CFRA. We'll be back after these short messages.
Oh.
Ottawa's news leader, CFRA, every day. Count on CFRA every day for breaking news around the corner and around the world.
CFRA.
It's News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.
Welcome to the Phonics Game Family Minute. With us are educational expert Ellen Kane and family film critic Holly McClure.
Did you know that kids spend over 3 hours watching TV each day?
And more teens are choosing to spend their time going to movies than any other activity.
The fallout from these entertainment choices is kids aren't learning to read.
And just as important, families aren't spending as much time together.
That's why we recommend the Phonics Game. It's a fast, fun, and easy way for your kids or teenagers to learn or improve their reading and learning skills.
And it's also a chance to have some quality family time together that will make a difference in their lives.
Call 800-920-3386 for the Phonics Game. It comes with a promise of better grades in reading or spelling or your money back. Call 800-920-3386 or visit the website at gamestolearn.com. 800-920-3386. 800-920-3386.
The Princess Margaret Hospital Foundation Cash and Cars Lottery is here with huge cash prizes. Three grand prizes of $1 million, 100 vehicles including a Rolls-Royce Silver Seraph, 17,000 prizes in all. Your chances of winning are approximately 1 in 15. Call 631-3222 or 1-888-501-3222 from elsewhere in Ontario to get your ticket. And good luck, everybody. License P99-1113.
And now, back to Career Connection on News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.
Welcome back, and thanks for joining me, George Dutch, on the Career Connection on 580 CFRA this Sunday, summer 1999. You know, job search is one of the most difficult things that we can do. It's rated as one of the top three stressful, most stressful situations in our life in terms of life experiences. And what I'm doing today is we're doing a kind of case study. Mark Buzan is my guest here in the studio. He's somebody that called this particular radio show where we help you find your right work and help you navigate your way through the brave new world of work every Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. on 580 CFRA, and who followed through, who said, look, I've got a university degree now. I want to get a job in the field that I've not only chosen, I'm passionate about. How do I break in to the world of work? How do I make this real? How do I realize my dream? And I think it's helpful to talk about it in specific terms. We often talk in terms of principles, general theory, but today we're talking about a real, live, flesh-and-blood person, Mark Buzan, who made that transition, who was employed as a student in a student job, who had a degree in political science, and who wanted to work in the political field. But as you heard him say just before the break, he didn't have a lot of clarity about which organization and which job. And one of the first steps that I take with a client, as I did with Mark, is to establish that clarity, is to identify specific jobs in specific organizations that use not only the education and the experience you've picked up, in Mark's case, over 22 years of life, but also your natural talents, your natural gifts, what you're naturally inclined to do, those things you do in those times in your life when you're doing what you enjoy most and doing it well. And Mark had quite a few situations where he had been doing things and enjoying them very much. Sometimes they were related to politics and sometimes they weren't. The first thing that I did was establish clarity in his own mind that these things that he was doing on a regular basis correlated with specific job duties in specific jobs in specific organizations. And Mark, I guess the job that attracted you the most, and you did explore a few, mm-hmm. but the one that attracted you the most was becoming a legislative assistant on Parliament Hill.
Yes.
As a student, as a young graduate in political science, that was the ideal job for you, yeah. and it was the one that you aspired to. And in fact, today you are a legislative assistant
yes.
on Parliament Hill. A special assistant to an MP, a member of parliament, Jason Kenney. But it just didn't happen overnight, and it doesn't happen magically.
No.
So let's go through the steps that it took to get you there.
Well, it took approximately 6 months to do that there.
And I know when you're 22, that seems like a long time.
It seems like a very long time.
But in a lifetime, it isn't.
It seemed like a lifetime, especially during that period where it was cycles of unemployment and going from contract to contract. So it did seem like a very long time, but well worth it.
Right. But once we had that clarity, then I guess what I hope for is that some confidence starts to bubble up or percolate in
Absolutely.
A client so that they can move forward. Because it takes a certain amount of aggression or confidence to move forward in the world, to try to capture your dream.
Well, the first thing obviously was in this situation was getting a hold of a list of all the contact people for all these offices that I was interested in. There was approximately 60 offices that I was interested in working. Finding out who the managing staff were, getting to know their names, but also doing individual research on the MPs themselves and what were their burning issues, what were they concerned with, what were their portfolios.
And how did you do that?
Well, there was varying research, trying to get a hold of their CVs, doing a little bit of some background work on clippings in the newspapers, looking up them in the web. Found a significant amount of information on these MPs in general.
And
on the
did
web.
They have individual websites or was
yes, a lot of them did. Those who didn't, it was I didn't find it excruciatingly difficult to get information. It was a question of looking through different newspapers, etc., etc. So from that point, I was able to break down generally 3 to 5 points of what these people were concerned with, or I had at least a general idea what they might be concerned with.
You mean their agendas?
Their agendas, exactly. Their agendas.
Because on the Hill, and maybe you should explain this for people, because you are a political science graduate, a lot of this stuff you know you take for granted, but MPs generally have a portfolio of issues that they cover off, right?
It's exactly.
One person doesn't know everything about every issue.
It'd be too difficult for everybody to keep track of everything.
So the responsibilities are broken down.
Exactly.
And sometimes those responsibilities relate to their interests, and sometimes they don't.
Mm-hmm. Well, in addition to those portfolios and then those interests, MPs often have particular personal histories that they come from, whether they've been in business, teachers, unions, whichever that may be. They have their own concerns, and that's often expressed through the work that they do.
Also, their constituents. Their
exactly.
constituencies would have hot
issues
that many, they have to represent.
There's many, many factors, and I'm glad you mentioned that. There was some research that needed to be done and understood of the places that they came from, the constituencies they came from, so that they needed to keep on track of what they needed to do to keep on track of their constituents there.
Yeah, I really like the way you're putting this, by the way, because I know we glossed over it very quickly. This the first task was to identify with clarity where and what, where you wanted mm-hmm. to work, which was Parliament Hill, mm-hmm. although you looked at some other organizations
yes.
that you were also interested in, and what you wanted to do there. You were very specific about the legislative assistant job title. Now, once you had that clarity, what you're telling us now is that you did a lot of research to understand that environment, to understand
yes.
Parliament Hill, the way it worked, and also to understand the job of a legislative assistant, at least the people that they mm-hmm. worked for.
In addition to doing that, I found out those key people to whom I could also speak to, those to whom I felt I could speak in confidence on what was really involved in the job per se. Went and spoke to some of the chiefs of staff, the hiring staff, just asking, you know, what's involved, what does it take? And I found
what does it take to get hired on the Hill?
What does it take to get hired on the Hill? And I found there was a lot of very constructive information that was bounced off in that regard. So,
like what? Give us an example, Mark.
Well, there's very many, many factors. It's the interesting thing that on the Hill, per se, it really depends a lot on the individual MP, what they're all looking for. One MP may hire on more staff in Ottawa, as opposed to in their constituency. Other MPs may do the vice versa. Some may hire more than others to take on more constituency work or focus more on research or PR for that matter. So that was something that I learned in that regard.
And you didn't learn this at university in your political science course?
No. I mean, there is no course how to become a legislative assistant in university. That just simply doesn't exist. There were some of my...
Should it?
Well, you know, I don't think that in university, per se, that's really the goal for university, per se. That the goal of university is to give you a theoretical background. And I don't want to discourage any university students and tell them to give up their degrees and such, because there were... I can recall on occasion that there have been some of the stuff that I'd learned from beforehand who had now helped me there with theoretical background or sometimes even the practices that we'd explored upon. in university. Nonetheless, other things that were learned that I learned while with these key people were issues, how to go about things, who is most likely to take on people, because they're these chiefs of staff, as say, are usually, they don't have a general role in the individual hiring in individual MPs' offices, but they generally have a good idea of what the score is.
So, you know, when I hear you talk, and I am letting you talk on about this, because I want the listeners to pick up on how important it is to do this research phase.
Absolutely.
In terms of talking to people. It is much easier, as you alluded to earlier in the program, it is much easier just to look at a job ad in the newspaper and send off a resume. A dozen resumes, 100 resumes, 200 resumes. What you're talking about is hard work, and in some way a kind of risk, right? You have to put yourself out there.
Yep.
They don't know you. You're trying to build relationships with these people. You're trying to get answers. You're trying to suss out how things really work.
Oh, I was doing
and
this.
And it's hard work.
I was doing this at the same time that I was. I had no employment at the time. And
it's
and
a
still
full-time
looking,
job.
And still looking for some means to put into the paycheck in. But
looking back on it now, was it a crucial period of
I would
of
not
work?
I am convinced that if I had not done that, what I had done in researching and building those contacts, I would not be where I am right now.
Right.
I am absolutely 100% convinced of that.
And I really want to stress this point, because it's not like you started with some kind of advantage that we're not coming clean about. You're not the son of a former MP, or you're not the grandson of a senator on the Hill. You don't have that heritage or that legacy, that inside track.
Actually,
you didn't know anybody on the Hill.
Actually, looking back on it, I think the one mistake that I did make while in university was not getting politically involved. I was not politically involved until I got out of university. I made a decision, okay, I focused on my studies, now I'm going to focus on getting a job in there. And I think that was an error. That was an error looking back on that.
I would agree with you. If I had to go back and do my university days again, I would have spent a lot more time and energy building relationships. We tend to be focused on the content of our course, doing well, studying, writing the papers, researching and all that. But it's just as important, and I hope you young people out there that are listening that are in high school or university now, spend time and energy building relationships with your professors, with your peer group, with your classmates, with people that are in other positions at the university, because all those people know other people.
Yeah.
And they might even know people in an organization that you want to work in, that you're targeting for employment. But the fact is, Mark, when you started out with this target in mind, you wanted to work as a legislative assistant on Parliament Hill, you didn't really know anybody of any consequence on the Hill. You were starting from scratch.
None whatsoever. None so whatsoever.
Okay, what was your first breakthrough? And I just want to remind listeners that they're listening to the Career Connection on 580 CFRA, and we're talking with Mark Buzan, who works as a legislative assistant on Parliament Hill, to Jason Kenney, Member of Parliament. And we're taking a kind of case study of Mark's transition from being a student, a graduate in political science who was employed in a job that wasn't related to political science. It was just a student job, making money, putting food on the table, a roof over his head. But he wanted to work on Parliament Hill. He identified that as his target. And he's taking us through the process of how he actually ended up there. So what was the first breakthrough for you, Mark?
Well, the first breakthrough was getting the first few calls asking for the chance to speak to the MPs to talk about different issues that they were concerned about. The first few calls were a little rough. I was nervous and not really sure of how to run through it. Some said, no, we are
too
busy.
Well, wait a minute. Let me stop you there, because people are saying, well, what did you ask? What kind of questions? And I remember we spent quite a bit of time on this in our sessions together.
But I'd say that the big breakthrough was having that first interview. That was, I want to emphasize as well, that was not the... the rule of thumb there. That was actually far from that. Most were very willing to give 15 minutes of their time.
And that's an important thing, because people have an assumption that who's going to want to talk to me? Why should they want to talk to little old me?
As long as you're clear is that you're not going to take up very much time, that you're clear on the parameters of what you want to talk about, and then it's
and
not
in this
necessarily
case, you knew what you wanted to talk
and
about.
And it's not necessarily, hey, I'm looking for a job, right? That's not the first one.
But still, there has to be some value to talking.
The first breakthrough, I would say, is having that successful first information recruitment session go very well, and having the MP shake my hand and say, you know, thank you very much, and if you ever have any more need of assistance, let me know.
So he took you as a man of serious intent.
Yes.
And that some way that validated what you were
absolutely
doing.
Absolutely.
And it built some confidence.
Built some confidence, and as I went, I actually found that I had to pull myself away from the MP rather than the other way around, so.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's take a short break here. You're listening to The Career Connection on 580 CFRA. Please stay tuned. We'll be back right after these short messages.
CFRA Sunday Night with Rabbi Boca, the top social, moral, and societal issues of our day.
Hi, Rabbi Boca here, inviting you to join me tonight following the 9 p.m. news on 580 CFRA. Our guest, Dr. David Levine, President and CEO of the Ottawa Hospital, will be bringing you the interview that we conducted with him a number of months ago. You'll enjoy it, and we'll see you then.
Sundays, 9 to 11 p.m. on Ottawa's News Talk Radio, 580 CFRA.
Unless you expect to live forever, isn't it about time you made a will? A will that says who gets your money and property, that names a guardian for any minor children, and that sees after the needs of elderly loved ones. The National Will Kit takes care of all of that and a lot more. Lawyer approved and legal throughout Canada, it's remarkably easy to use. And if you order your National Will Kit today, we'll include free of charge the new Family Legal Guide. You'll get valuable facts on small claims court, bankruptcy, landlord disputes, no-fault divorce, and more. A $14.95 value, it's yours free if you order now.
Have your charge card handy and call 1-800-810-1234 to order your National Will Kit and your free Family Legal Guide. Pay only $29.95 plus $5 GST and shipping for this $45 value. Satisfaction guaranteed. Call 1-800-810-1234 now. That's 1-800-810-1234.
This is Steve Winogron, News Director at 580 CFRA. This radio station is a voluntary member of the Canadian Broadcast Standards Council. That means we adhere to a strict code of ethics and the board which enforces broadcast standards in Canada. We're proud of our record, and we invite your feedback directly to CFRA management. If we can't resolve your complaint, we'll direct you to the Independent Council. The Broadcast Standards Council and News Talk Radio, 580 CFRA.
And now, back to Career Connection on News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.
Thanks for making me, George Dutch, part of your Sunday evening on this summer 1999 Sunday. You're listening to The Career Connection on 580 CFRA, and we're heard every Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. I'm talking with Mark Buzan. A few years ago, he was a graduate in political science, and like a lot of students, yourself perhaps, or a son and daughter, or a grandson, or a granddaughter, he didn't know what to do with himself. He had a degree, but he didn't have a lot of job prospects. And he, in fact, Mark called this show one Sunday evening, seeking some advice on what he could do, and followed up and came and saw me at his office. And what we're talking about today is how Mark realized his target, his job target, or his vocational dream. After doing some assessment and analysis of his talents and his education and experience, he identified that he wanted to work as a legislative assistant on Parliament Hill. Today, in fact, that is what he does. But we're talking about the important bits, the nitty-gritty, the nuts and bolts of how he got from that state of confusion to the state of clarity where he's employed in a job that he enjoys doing in a field that he's passionate about, political science. Now, just before the break, Mark, we were talking about how the first major breakthrough for you on the Hill, after you'd done that research about all the MPs and their different issues and their interests and how the Hill worked in terms of getting employed, how important was it to have an agenda yourself, to have a subject matter that MPs were going to be interested in? I know that when we did our initial work together, we focused on tax reform because that was a big issue, and that was something you had studied at university, you had some knowledge about, you were fascinated by it. And you put a couple of questions together that you hoped would spark the interest of MPs. But I know from personal experience and because of working with hundreds of individuals in similar situations to your own, that you have to give people who don't know you, and let's face it, you didn't know anybody on Parliament Hill, certainly nobody of any consequence, you have to give them a reason to want to talk to you, a reason to get to know you. You have to give them a motivation to get to know you. And the motivation that I encourage my clients to tap into is tap into their self-interest. What's on their agenda? Mm-hmm. What are they concerned about? You use that word quite a bit in the first part of the program, understanding their concerns. Tap into their self-interest so that they have a motivation to want to get to know you. And that is, in fact, what happened.
Exactly. Well, like you said, we picked tax reform. That was something that I continue to be interested in, and certainly a hot subject. Many of the MPs that I was speaking to got elected on some one way or another on issues of taxes. So, from that standpoint, I went about my business of learning whatever I could on different issues of tax reform, and within that, being able to pose serious questions that were not necessarily yes or no, that could necessitate a yes or no answer, would actually have somebody seriously thinking.
Can you remember what those questions were?
Well, one question was, for example, I would ask them, which do you think is better, a flattened lower income tax or completely scrapping it for a higher GST, for example?
Now, this was on a cold call. You hadn't met these people before, and you'd phone them up, and you'd ask a question
That was most often it was the secretary or the administrative assistant that answered the phone.
And there's people throwing their hands up out there in the listening audience saying, well, how do you ever get through a secretary? How can you break through that secretary? He's there to protect his boss.
Yeah, some are tough nuts to crack, and they're doing their job. But I think that the key to that was keeping it very precise, making sure that you sound sure of yourself, polite, and for me it was a question of, I was wondering if I could please speak to so-and-so MP. My name is such-and-such, and I'm doing some career research. I have some questions to ask on this and this and this subject. Most often the MP was not right available, or often it was they had to clear it with the boss first. And it often occurred where they'd leave, they'd take a message, and I'd get a call back most often that same day, if not the same day, within a few days. So
from the MP or from the
MP.
Secretary?
From the MP. From the MP. If it did turn out that that they weren't available, I would sometimes be able to get the opportunity to speak with the current legislative or executive assistant to get some answers in that regard, which helped me build better questions to once again try to pierce back at the MP again.
Do you think that's unusual? Do you think because they're MPs and their wages are paid by the public that they are going to respond to every phone call? Or do you think people in general have a natural inclination to help out people? There's a lot of goodwill that you can draw on that people are genuinely interested.
Having worked now in an MP's office for over a year and a half, I can test that we get all sorts of calls, and the MP is extremely busy. It's not a question that he or she does not wish to speak to the public. It's just that if that's all they did, respond to the public, they wouldn't get the rest of their job done, and that's representing their constituents and dealing with the important issues of the nation.
But do you think it would have been any different if you would have called some other organization and asked to speak to an executive officer or somebody at the same level?
I'm of the opinion I don't think it would be much different. Okay. It might be different circumstances, but it wouldn't be much different. Yeah.
All right. So that's how you broke through that initial wall of a cold call,
yes,
making initial contact.
And I think the
MP would phone back, and then you'd ask for what, a meeting for 20 minutes? Or you? That's when
I'd
you
ask
pitch your question.
I'd ask a couple questions, a couple preliminary questions, and always followed up. It seems that we have some burning issues going on there. Would you mind if I could take 15 to 20 minutes maximum of your time?
And I always encourage clients to ask for 15 or 20 minutes, because most people have 15 or 20 minutes out of their day to
and
spare.
And make sure, come hell or high water, it's just 15 to 20 minutes.
And you stick to that.
It doesn't drag to 30 minutes or an hour. Even if you have more questions to ask.
They've respected you, now you respect them.
Exactly. From that point on, it was just this sounds like a good idea. I'll put you back through to the secretary to schedule a meeting. And from that point, we went on from there, and I'd go on and try to establish the same sort of agenda with other MPs. And within a week and a half, I was working on approximately anywhere from 2 to 3 of these information recruitment meetings a day.
Now, what did you learn through that round of informational interviewing that you didn't learn from your initial research?
Well, I learned more about what they were like. I learned what they were concerned with. I learned a little bit more of the quirks of what made them tick a little bit more.
And how was that useful, Mark?
Well, this is again, get back to building relationships, getting understanding people. It's more than just the nuts and bolts of knowing what you do. You also have to understand how what makes people tick, what makes them think, what makes them react to different things in particular ways, and what sparks their curiosity and interest.
Yeah, so you really are getting to know that person.
Exactly.
And I think this is a good point at which to bring up the underlying philosophy that we're talking about. People tend to hire who they know, and it doesn't matter if they're MPs on Parliament Hill or if they're people that work in the local sandwich shop. People tend to hire who they know, and your job as a job seeker is to give them a chance to get to know you. And that's what we've been talking about here, is that there's a lot of obstacles to overcome in terms of breaking through that cold call, getting into the informational interview so that you can raise their interest about you, so they'll want to get to know you and meet with you again. But the whole point is that you're building a relationship and you're giving them a chance to get to know you while you get to know them.
Exactly. Exactly.
So you're building that relationship. Now, how did that work out? Like, did you find that you went back for more meetings with people, or you started to narrow down your
From that point on, I was able to narrow down who really had the burning issues, who could I really work with. You found that some were a little bit more as receptive as others. So from that, it was a process of trial and error in finding who was really the key people that I should be focusing on.
Right, and did you have a list by then, a short list of people that you thought were your best prospects?
It was constantly being updated, notes being marked. I still have the book in which I kept a daily notes on the results of each of these things. And once I had extracted this information, the preliminary information, I'd ask them if it seemed fruitful for another meeting. I'd say, this appears to be a particular problem, and this appears to be a particular problem. Would you mind if I went back and did some research? I think I might be able to find some answers to some of these things, and I'd like to bounce them off you.
What was their response to that?
Certainly. And it was just a matter of rescheduling that meeting. So obviously I'd go back to my place, do some more research on the issue, a little bit more in depth, learn what there had to be done. In one case, I went to a member of parliament who had been very concerned about particular aspects of justice that weren't being enforced because there were loopholes. So I went back to him on a second interview and suggested a Scottish model that I'd come by, and it seemed to be something that he was greatly interested in. From which I was able to build a rapport, and eventually, you know, it got to the point where many of these MPs were able to remember me on a first name basis.
Right. So that was sort of proof that you'd built a relationship with him.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right. We're going to come back now after we take a short break and talk about your next breakthrough, because there's kind of milestones as you go through the job search process, and we want to talk about your next milestone. My name is George Dutch. I'm talking with Mark Buzan about his successful job search. You're listening to The Career Connection on 580 CFRA. Let's take a short break, and we'll be back right after these short messages.
And now, back to Career Connection on News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.
Well, thanks for staying tuned to 580 CFRA and The Career Connection on this summer Sunday of 1999. My name is George Dutch, and I'm speaking with successful job searcher Mark Buzan, who now works as a legislative assistant to a member of parliament on Parliament Hill here in Ottawa. And he's telling us how he did that, starting as a confused graduate out of a political science faculty here locally, his aspirations to work in politics, the clarity that he achieved in identifying where he wanted to work on Parliament Hill as a legislative assistant, and actually succeeding in doing that without any advantages of knowing anybody on Parliament Hill. It's been a fascinating journey. But I think the best part is yet to come, because what you've been talking about, I think, are in many ways well-known conventions of job searching, that you do research once you've identified where you want to work in the job title, you do informational interviewing, you build up relationships. But your next breakthrough, another milestone, was you went partying.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Well, what happened is it came about that I started to get more known and more known. I made connections with other staffers.
And by more known, simply that you were hanging around Parliament Hill talking to these different MPs and
Absolutely. Staff. So through those contacts, I ended up hearing by word of mouth that there might be a staff party going on at some one of the staffers' houses, and made a point of just stopping in. And fortunately, wasn't really invited. But I think by that point there, I was known well enough that it wasn't a major issue. So it was through those social occasions that I was able to come up to these some of these members of parliament and who often frequented these parties.
And I remember encouraging you to do this because people act differently. They behave differently in a social setting than they do in a formal setting like their office or on Parliament Hill. And this was around Christmas time, as I remember it. And there's always these Christmas parties on Parliament Hill.
Well, there was parties that started before that. And then I lead through a series of different parties that I...
But it's sometimes easier to build a relationship or to make some contact with people in a social setting.
Much easier.
Well, tell us about that.
Much, much easier. It was able to talk about a lot about different issues, the policies on a personal level as to what they affect there, and my own involvement as I was also a volunteer organizer at the time, political organizer in my area where I live. So that helped. That helped me bring some kind of an aspect there, and that was something that interested them, how things were going. Specifically where I was living in Quebec there, they were interested how things were going in that. So that gave them an interest for them to want to ask questions as well. These led to further invitations. And by the first couple I wasn't really invited, kind of made myself invited, but before I knew I was getting invited to some of these parties. And by Christmas, as you mentioned earlier there, just intending to go along as I'd always had, I'd actually came up and I was approached by one of the executive assistants and said, hey, we're going to have an opening in about a month and a half or so. Would you be interested? And I think, by golly, I've finally done it. So I said, you're darn right, I am interested. So those all combined, along with the fact that I had, on the recommendation of some other legislative assistants that I'd made before, telling me when positions were coming open, and me handing resumes and indicating my interest to some other MPs, a combination of that and the social aspect of it, really culminated together.
I think that's so important that people got to see you in that setting, because I want to emphasize again, human nature being what it is, people tend to hire who they know, and they need a chance to get to know you. And in that social setting, that party setting, they got a chance to know you to the point where they felt comfortable. Now, you said a legislative assistant approached you and said there was an opening coming up. Was that, in fact, the job you got?
Yes.
Yes. So, and that job, more or less, was offered to you in that social setting rather than a formal job interview.
Exactly.
And this is something I want to emphasize to the listeners out there. 85% of jobs are filled before they ever become a job vacancy ad in a newspaper or any other kind of posting
on the
web.
In my situation, what happened was that they had taken on an intern to fill that first... Mr. Kenny had just been elected in June of 97 there. They'd taken on an intern temporarily from September until January to fill in that void there that they needed. And the intern was going to be moving on to do whatever she needed to do. So they were already looking at the need, okay, in about a month and a half, we're going to need somebody.
Exactly. Because there's turnover.
There was not even a period where they had nobody there. They had stacked it so that the intern left. There was a week where there was nobody here. Almost somebody had gone on vacation, and I took over right away.
Right. And the point I want to make is that 85% of jobs are filled through face-to-face interviews that are not formal job interviews. They are the kind of face-to-face meetings that you had all along the way, mm-hmm. because people are getting a chance to know you. They're checking you out, and you're checking them out, etc. So that was the next major breakthrough, and of course, in a month or so later, you were hired. Now, you've gone on to fulfill your ambitions, or at least to honor your passion for political science. Mm-hmm. In fact, you recently ran in a provincial election.
Yes.
As a candidate.
Well, through my involvement as an organizer for reform, and that led to some more interest in, it only became natural that my interest became expanded towards provincial politics. And I got myself involved in the Action Démocratique du Québec through the youth movement there, and through making some sort of similar connections in that organization there, I was approached by them to run as a candidate for the last provincial election in Quebec there. And
so you were really immersed in the political situation.
I took that on, and through I think through good placement, I had a boss who was in agreement with was okay with the idea that I worked while I did this at the same time.
Well, you've come a long way in a short time, Mark, and I want to congratulate you for that. Politics being what it is, often careers are short, but I know that you'll go a long way in politics in whatever way you choose to do so from this point on, and I want to thank you for sharing your stories and your experiences with us today on The Career Connection. Good luck to you, Mark.
Thank you, George.
All right, please stay tuned now for the news, and I hope somebody or something puts you on the path to job joy this week. Please join me again, George Dutch, next Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on 580 CFRA.